Testament, go to the Song of Solomon, if you would. Take your Bible in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon. Now, if you're getting familiar with the Bible, if you go to the big book of Psalms there in the middle, and more toward the middle, then turn to your right. You'll go through Proverbs, you'll go through Ecclesiastes, and you'll come to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Chapter 2. We're going to read one verse this morning for sake of time. I was going to read some others, but I'm going to read you one verse. I'm aware that we're a little bit later than normal starting. Usually I'm already preaching by this time. We'll adjust, and it'll be the type of message that I can adjust this morning. So let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. One of the young people, one of the college students home for just a few days is Rich McDonald, and Rick McDonald. He's going to come and sing for us. We'll enjoy this after we look at verse number one. Here's our verse this morning. This is the simple, simple thought today. Simple message, but I want the Lord to bless it. The Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Let's pray together before we have the special. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. Ask and pray now in Jesus' name that you would open our hearts and minds to it. And Lord, we know that we have something to do with that. Lord, if we sit here right now for the next several minutes with something else on our mind, it's hard for your spirit to talk to us. If we're going to let something else crowd out the truth of your word, if we let something interfere, I pray that wouldn't happen. Give us, Lord, a wide open mind this morning to the Spirit of God as we share the Bible. May it be a blessing and a help to people. We'll thank you for it. Bless the song singer and the message to follow in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. the Lord knew that what Rick was singing, and the Lord knew what I was preaching, and He put the two of them together, even though Rick and I didn't know what He didn't know what I was preaching, and I didn't know what he was singing. God wants to help somebody this morning. I want to speak to you on that verse right there, the lily of the valleys. Jesus said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Lord, for your goodness, and truly you are good. It matters not what circumstances any person or every person in this room may be found this morning. Some are in lighthearted circumstances right now that are fun and enjoyable. Others are in very difficult circumstances that are heavy and unenjoyable. Your goodness remains constant. It remains the same. Speak to us this morning, dear Lord. Reaffirm that truth in our hearts and help somebody today by your grace. Give us your power as we bring your word. Lord, I need to know what to include, what to leave out. I don't want to leave anything out that you want me to say, but Lord, I don't want to take up time either. We're a little behind. So help me today. Make me a tool in your hands. In Jesus' name and amen. The Song of Solomon is called the Holy of Holies of the Bible. It's a very intimate book. A book that speaks of the love relationship between a bride and a groom. Now you must read it, of course, with this in mind. The groom is a picture of Jesus Christ and the bride is a picture of His church. Throughout these chapters, the bridegroom and the bride sing to each other and they speak of each other and they walk up and down the streets and they talk of each other. The bride talks about the groom and the groom talks about the bride. And there's a very special love relationship that is pictured in this book between bride and groom. And let me say this morning, there ought to be a very special love relationship between Jesus Christ and those of us who are His born-again children living in this New Testament church age. You see, everybody saved after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is a part of the bride of Christ. The Old Testament saints, John the Baptist, they were not part of the bride of Christ. John the Baptist said, I am not the bridegroom. I'm a friend of the bridegroom. He was not a part of the bride. Only those saved after the death, burial, resurrection. You're talking about the last 2,000 years. And it's a very select, a small group of people, if you will. And it's a very special relationship. And there ought to be a sweet love between bride and groom. There should be a sweet love relationship between us and Jesus Christ. There are so many things that attempt to distract our love away from Jesus Christ. I'll go without reservation. Make no apology in saying that everybody in this room to some degree has our love for Jesus Christ lessened by the world we live in. There's none of us that can claim total immunity from the world this morning, friend. I'll be honest with you. That's the honest truth. None of us. There is an attraction to the world. There is a temptation. There is an allurement. There's an enticement there that to some degree affects every one of us in our love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for us to make sure that our love for Christ stays what it ought to be or close to what it ought to be in these days. Because truth of the matter is, friend, His love never diminishes for us. The world is no allurement to Jesus. He's not enticed by that. He has us as the apple of His eye, the Bible says. So His love to us is constant, strong, unchanging, always the same. Oh, that ours would be the same for Jesus, that love relationship. And I scratched out some things I was going to take time to say this morning for sake of time. But I'll just say this. I'm not talking about just a feeling. I believe emotion is involved in love, but there's far more to love than just an emotion. There's a respect, a trust, a commitment, an obedience that goes right along with loving someone. Amen. Can't be separated. I don't have time to get into this more. That's how our love is gauged. And we need to be sure that we keep that love burning brightly for the Lord Jesus. Now, in this chapter, Jesus is speaking about Himself as the chapter begins. The bridegroom is speaking. And He says, Jesus, speaking about Himself, He says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I love that. The valleys are low places. Low places. You see, on the mountain, the air is crisp. The view is stunning. You're high up in the altitude. But the valley is just the opposite. It's low and the air settles and it can get very humid and very heavy. And there's nothing really pretty to view there except for the next mountain. But you're not there. You're a ways away. You're in the valley. I remember when I was at the boys' home, toward the end of my stay there, they found stuff all the time for us to do to keep us busy. And our boys' ranch was on a mountain ridge, Walden's Ridge in Tennessee. And every night it was, good night, John, good night, Bob, good night, Lon. I'm just teasing, all right, but good night, John, boy. But anyway, Walden's Ridge up there. And so we would work in the apple orchards, but then there were the mountains, and then there was the valleys. And the same guy who owned the apple orchard owned a valley full of tomato plants. We staked them all. I know they were there. We staked them all. I'm talking about hundreds of plants, folks. I'm talking about hundreds of plants. And those we did not stake. Those in the valley, we were just bush tomatoes. Up on the mountainside, we did stake some. But in the valley, we didn't stake them. They were just bush tomatoes on the ground. And in August, we had to pick those tomatoes. 12 of us boys, 11 of us boys went there. And we started at the crack of dawn. And we worked all day. And it was the type of thing you had to crawl on your knees through the ground. And I'm telling you, that hot, humid August air settled in that valley in between those mountains. I'm telling you, the sweat just poured. You were drenched. I mean, soaking wet. And all day long, you were green from your fingertips all the way up your arms, reaching into all those plants, picking those tomatoes. We picked what we called the breaking tomatoes. They weren't ripe and they weren't green. They were in between, whitish, breaking in color. And we would box them up and they'd send them up to Chicago and other places to sell. But that's what we did. And for day after day after day, I remember how much I dreaded, and those other boys dreaded, going to that valley in between those mountains where the air was heavy and humid and there was a little creek that flowed down through there. And at the end of the day, Mike would say, okay, boys, you can go. And we'd go. We'd jump in the creek. It was ice cold, you know, because the water came out of the mountains. And that was a good part of the day. But that valley was humid, hot, and I mean temperature was nasty. That's what valleys are. Valleys are low places. Valleys in the Bible symbolize difficulty. They symbolize hard times. They speak of low places in life. They speak of troubled times. Psalm 23 is a familiar chapter in verse number 4. Yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death. David described death as the valley of the shadow of death. Psalm 84:6, he talked about the valley of Baca. The word Baca means weeping, trouble, tears. He talked about going through that valley. And friend, listen very carefully. Valleys in the Bible symbolize the low times, the times of difficulty, the times of trouble, the times of anxiety and lonesomeness that come to every Christian. Every child of God goes through the valley. Everyone. Some of you have had some tremendous mountaintop, spiritually speaking, experiences recently. I mean, either you got saved, or you got baptized, or you made some decision at the tent meeting, or you saw somebody come to Christ, or the Lord is just blessing your life right now. And spiritually speaking, you're on the mountaintop. And I'm here to warn you and tell you, the valleys are coming. The valleys are coming. You know, the health and wealth prosperity preachers of our day, you know, they tell you that once you get saved, man, and you get right with God and get filled with the Holy Ghost, you will prosper greatly, and you won't be sick, and you won't be poor, and all your problems will be taken care of. And if you're right with God and full of the Holy Ghost, you'll have everything you need. No, you'll have no problems. It's a health and wealth prosperity gospel that's not founded in this book right here. It's a false gospel. And by the way, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. If you got saved for prosperity, you didn't get saved. If prosperity was the motivation, oh, I want to trust Jesus in my heart because, man, I want to prosper. I want to be well, and I want to have good health, and I want to have lots of money, and I want to prosper and have everything in life and all this taken care of. And that's why I want Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. You didn't get saved. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for sinners. You get saved from your sin. You get saved because you've sinned against God and you owe the penalty for sin, which is eternal separation from God forever in the place called the lake of fire. You get saved because Jesus came to die, was buried, and rose again to pay that penalty for you. It has nothing to do with being healthy. It has nothing to do with being rich. It has everything to do with I am a helpless, hopeless sinner and I cannot get to heaven on my own, and I will gladly embrace Jesus Christ is all I need for my eternal life in heaven. Amen? That's how you get saved. That's how you get saved. There's no prosperity gospel, friend. There's the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. I read this week in the gospel of Luke over there in the New Testament, Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners to salvation. Amen? But I'm simply saying, after you get saved, there's a lot of joy and abundance and wonderful things that are part of the Christian life, but I'm here to tell you just as well as those things are a part of the Christian life, so are the valleys. So are the valleys. 2 points this morning. I've already cut some of my introduction out. I'll cut some of my message out. 2 points this morning. Number one, every Christian will go through the valley. Every Christian. I'm telling you that after you get saved, the path of your Christian walk will take you to the valley. Sometimes the valleys are deep. Sometimes they're not so deep. And you know what usually determines the depth of the valley? The height of the mountains. You get over those mountains that are real steep out east in West Virginia and even places out west. The height and steepness of those mountains determine the depth of the valleys many times. You get in places where the mountaintops aren't so tall and the valleys are not quite so deep. And if you are experiencing one of those mountaintop, glory to God, hallelujah, amen, I'm saved and I know it, and God is blessing my life, and this is going on, and this is going on, and this is happening, and I see the hand of God working everywhere in my life, and you're way up here, understand, the valley you go through may be just as deep as the mountain was tall. Are you listening this morning, church? I know some people need this. It has to be. I was convinced before I got here, and that song just gave me all the more reason to be convinced. Sometimes they're deep, they're dark, they're difficult, full of trouble and heartache. Some valleys are shallow, and they're easily maneuvered through, and they don't last very long. But the valleys will come. And I noticed something in this verse. Did you see the word? Look at the last word of verse number one there. Look at it. Does it say valley? I am the lily of the valley. It says what? The valleys. What is that? That's plural. That means more than one. You see, they come to us, friend. Notice the plurality here. Valleys come in the Christian life. And you get through one, spend a few months or even a year on the mountaintop, or maybe just a week. Before you know it, here comes the valley again. It's the Christian life. The lily of the valleys. The valleys come to teenagers. The valleys come to young adults. The valleys come to college students. Even if it's getting used to being gone from home and the homesickness, that you young men who are going away for the first time, and Kyla going away for those of you going away for the first time, I'll promise you, some days or weeks after you're settled into your college life, the homesickness is going to set in. You're going to be lonesome. It's a valley. Valleys come to college students. Valleys come to young married couples. Valleys come to middle-aged couples. Valleys come to couples with small children. Valleys come to people with grown and married kids and grandchildren. Valleys come to empty nesters. And valleys come to senior saints. And valleys come to single people. Valleys are not partial. Everybody goes through the valley. Everybody does. We have people in our congregation this morning who are going through a valley right now. And not just one, I mean several. Going through a valley. Sometimes we are familiar with some of the people who are going through valleys. They're more public than others. But sometimes people are going through deep valleys we don't know anything about. You might see somebody acting a little bit strange. Maybe they respond in a way that's not their usual character. And you think to yourself, goodness, man. Sometimes we don't know, friend. They're going through valleys nobody knows anything about. That happens. Going through a valley right now. Some are going through a valley for the 4th, 5th, and 6th time. Some are back in a valley, just got out of one maybe a couple months ago. And they're back in it again and back in it again. When you read the book of Psalms, those written by David especially, you understand he was a man who knew something about valleys. Look at me, folks. As high as his emotions ran after he killed Goliath. And look, we think these are supernatural people. How would you 17-year-old boys feel if you killed a 9-foot man with a slingshot? You reckon that might be a little bit bigger than making a 3-point shot at the end of the game? Huh? I mean, your adrenaline would be popping. And his was popping. I mean, remember what he did? He ran over there and chopped the guy's head off. And then took his head back to town. Mounted on the wall. Amen. He's a record book. Boone and Crockett, Goliath. Amen. There he is. Huh? Sure. His adrenaline is running high. And look at me. David had the ability emotionally to go to those heights where the adrenaline was pumping. And I want to tell you something. You read his words and you'll find out that he also had the ability to plunge low. Read those Psalms. Man, that's a man who's in torment. That's a man who's in, the despair, the loneliness, the troubled heart. He speaks about it over and over again. You say, Pastor, what are you mentioning David for? Because listen, friends, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. How close is that? And if a man after God's own heart went through valley after valley after valley after valley, you suppose that you and I might go through a couple? Sure. It will be a part of our life. You name it, man. Loss of a loved one, laid off at work, your grown married child has health problems, or the grandchild has health problems, or someone disappoints you, or misunderstandings. There are so many of life's experiences that can lead you into the valley. And every Christian is going to go through it. Every Christian is going to go through it. Look at me. Listen. God does not send His children into the valley to punish them. I believe this with all my heart, friend. I believe you will know. If you're trying to walk with God and live for Him and follow Him, I believe you'll know the difference between chastisement and when God puts you in a valley. You know what? Chastisement doesn't last very long. If it's handled rightly. God chastises you. Boom. You understand what it's for. Lord, I know what that's all about. I'm sorry. I will fix my attitude. I'll fix my spirit. Forgive me. Help me. And you go on. But brother, sometimes valleys last a long time. God doesn't send His children into a valley to punish them. He does not play with people's psyche by trying to put them in a valley and play toy with their emotions. Listen this morning. God sends His children through the valley for a purpose. He sends His children to the valley for a reason, for preparation. The next few years may be victory after victory after victory, but it could be that you learned a lesson in the valley that prepared you for the next mountaintop. That's what God sent you to the valley for. Don't allow yourself to be swallowed up by self-pity. And I don't think anybody in this room has. So many times people who get in tough situations get down in the valley. They'll get swallowed up by self-pity. And I'm singled out. And I, and nobody else is going through this. I'm the only one. Like Tigger. Now look at me. Your circumstances may be unique. Nobody else may have the exact kind of circumstances you're going through. But listen, you're not being singled out. Every Christian goes through a valley. Some are more public with their emotions and their troubles. Others are more reserved and quiet. But I'm here to tell you, every Christian goes through a valley. And sometimes you look at people, you say, you know what? All they've ever known in their life is success and happiness and blessing. They've never had a hard time. You don't know the story. You have no idea. Unbelievable sometimes people who project a personality of being on top, what they've been through. They've been through deep valleys. You're not the only one. God's not singling you out. That's not true. That's false. That's wrong. Everybody goes through the valley. Some of you were here Wednesday night, heard Brother Dawson preach. Man, he preached about the potter and the clay. What a great message. Good night. He was good on Thursday morning. He preached about sin Friday morning. It was just a blessing. We sat on the deck. I had him out to the house, him and his boy and his daughter, on Thursday night. We cooked up some good old pork loin and on the grill and some other good stuff. My wife, I can't remember what it was now, but it was good. Amen. I know that. And of course it was good. It wouldn't be anything else but good. Amen. Right? You bet. And it was good. And then after we went out, sat on the deck, just Brother Dawson, myself, and just I guess we made shop talk. Like you men who have the same type vocation and calling in life and work in life, you get around people that do the same thing you do, you talk shop. We talk preacher talk, shop talk. And he said to me, and he might have said here in the service, he said, this year has been the absolute worst year at Victory Baptist Church. And he started talking about some of the circumstances. But could you have gotten that from him? And I reminded him, I said, Brother Rick, March 2005, I came and preached your missions conference. He said, yes, sir. I said, you told me in March 2005 that you just finished out the best year at Victory Baptist Church. He said, you're right. The last 9 months of 04 and the first 3 months of 05 were the best years of Victory Baptist Church. And it wasn't even just a few months later, he was plunged into a valley. That's life. It's not time, oh, woe is me, God is being unfair. It's not time for that. God is not being unfair. He's not being unkind. He's not being ugly. God is doing with you what He does with everybody, all of His children. He sends us to the valley. Every child of God goes to the valley. Let me say number two, and I'm shutting it off this morning. In the valley, you got to look for the lily. Because, friend, I'm here to tell you, man, thank God. Thank God. The good news is, Jesus said, I am the lily of the valleys. You gotta look for Christ. He's there. He's there. And He's not just there. He is there as the lily. He's there as the lily. I'm not talking about these days. I'm talking about those Middle Eastern lilies that get tall. The Middle Eastern lilies were the tallest of all the flowers, like sometimes they are here in the States. A beautiful flower with a sweet fragrance, a strong fragrance. They're tall. They're white and tall. They produce an oil that has been used for medicinal purposes in years gone by. A balm for healing, if you will. Jesus is the lily of the valleys. He's not just there. He's there as the lily. He's there in sweetness. He's there in healing. He's there in purity. He is in the valley. Look for Him. He said He would be there. The song we sang was tonight as we opened the service. I probably remember it, Brother Tom, because you got caught at work and I had to lead the song. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Lily of the valley, the bride and... Hey, he is. That's not just a song, friend. That's a text right out of your Bible right there. Jesus said, He is the lily of the valleys, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Jesus is so many things to us. He is our strength. He is our rock. He is our high tower. He is our fortress. All those things we need on the mountain. All those things. Those good days, we know He is there with us all the way as those things. But we're in the valley. When we're in the valley, when we're in the low time, when we're going through it, He's the lily. He's the lily. He didn't say He was a strong tower in the valley. He didn't say He was a rock in the valley. He said He's a lily in the valley. In the valleys where you need some sweetness. Watch it. Listen to me. You're so tempted. If you're not careful, the old Adamic nature that's in all of us, you get into a valley and you'll be careful because, friend, bitterness can set in. Bitterness can set in. I talked to a lady this morning who's been through a valley for months. Physical trouble. Months in a valley. But it was obvious this morning as the tears came down her cheeks. She's not bitter. You know why, friend? Jesus is there as the lily. That's sweet. You mean I can walk through a valley and keep my heart free of bitterness? Yeah, you got to look for the lily. Smell it? Can you sense it? He's there. You know what we're tempted to do in the valley? We're tempted to get our eyes on the circumstances that led us into the valley or that put us into the valley. Keep our eyes honed in on that circumstance that brought us to the valley. Don't do that, friend. Don't do that. Look for the lily. Look for Jesus. He is there. He said He would be there. Look for Him. And by the way, He's not hiding behind a rock. It's no game of peekaboo. Now you catch me, now you don't. Now you see me, now you don't. Ha ha, Christian, keep looking. The lily was a tall flower. You could see it. Look for Him. Look for Him this morning. He is there in sweetness. He's there in purity. He'll keep your heart clean. He is there in healing. Your soul and your spirit will be helped and encouraged. What did Jesus, in the Psalms, I don't know if it's an exact quote of Scripture, it's a song. In the valley He restoreth my soul. In the valley. That's that healing. That's that balm. That's that oil. That ointment that'll help heal the hurt of being in the valley. By the way, our Bible does not say here. Let me say this. One of the things about being in that valley, friend, you're going to have an encounter with Jesus that you would not have on the mountain. He is not called the lily of the mountain. Because you don't need sweetness on the mountain. You don't need strength on the mountain. You don't need healing on the mountain. You're already there. Look at this. This is wonderful. But we're in the valley. You need some healing. You need some sweetness. You need some balm. You need some help. And that's what Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. In the valley, there are opportunities to get to know Jesus Christ. There are opportunities to have times with Him that you would never have if you lived on the mountain constantly. He is there in the valley as the lily in your valley. He can be the lily in my valley. At the same time, He's the lily in Caleb's valley. At the same time, He's the lily in the Maiden's valley. At the same time, He's the lily in the De La Cruz's valley. At the same time, He's the lily in the Valerie Davis valley. At the same time, He's in your valley. He can be a lily in each of our valleys. Got to look for Him. Got to look for Him. I'll close with this to those of you that have been here for a while. This will be old. I'm sorry. But to me, it's just the best illustration. But there are many who have not heard it. My sister-in-law, Lisa, married to my youngest brother, Tom. Honey, I should have checked with you about the details, the age when she first found out she had cancer. I forget. Early 20s. One child. They had Sarah. And she found out that she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, am I right? And it was a scare. They put her on radiation. She took those radiation treatments, you know. And after taking the allotted number of treatments, they said, okay, now we'll check your blood about every 3 months. If the cancer cells don't show up for 5 years, we'll consider it to be in remission. Every 3 months, 6 months, she went for the blood test. They kept checking those cells, 4 years and 10 months passed with no cancer cells. 2 months. Can you imagine how she and my brother felt as they got 2 months away from being remission? And on that 4th year and 10th month, the cancer cells showed up. Now she's about late 20s. They've had another child, thank God. Had a little boy in that time. And so now she goes on not only radiation, maybe not even radiation, just chemotherapy. Remember, we were having a God Save America revival conference over here in the gymnasium with Dwight. And I got the phone call, ran home in that snowstorm, and got the phone call from Ohio, from Georgia. My mother said, pray for Lisa. Said, Tom, I don't know where Tom is. I think Tom was there. He might have been the only one there. And said, boy, said the first treatment, she's writhing in the bed. Boy, I began to weep in my kitchen as I pictured that beautiful young lady going through that kind of treatment, married to my brother. I came that close to getting on a plane and flying to Ohio to stay with my brother, that close. I'm in the middle of the conference. I came that close. She went through that chemotherapy, and we met in December of that year in Georgia for Christmas as a family, me and my two brothers and our families. And some of you have seen the picture of her, no hair. She had a hat on her head. Bald from all the treatment. And had a picture taken. I won't forget that. We were down in the family room Christmas morning, and Lisa and I were down there by ourselves. We were kind of getting the family, moving some chairs around, getting ready for the Christmas celebration. And her treatments had ended. She was explaining how the treatments would go. She was explaining how they would go. She went to the, every week or every other week or something. I forget all the details of it. But some of you have been there. You've had those treatments. Gruesome. How they make them feel. I remember saying to her, I said, Lisa, I suppose you won't miss those chemotherapy treatments at all, will you? And her answer stunned me. She said, well, as far as being sick, no, I won't miss that. But I think I'll miss the treatments. Because when I was going through those treatments, the Lord was there in a way He's never been with me in any other circumstance. She said, I'll miss that. Now, she's not being stupid, folks. She's not saying, I want to go through chemotherapy. But what she found in that valley was the lily. She found the lily in that valley. He's not just the lily of her valley. He's the lily of your valley. You got to look for it. Get your eyes off the circumstances and look for the lily. He said He'd be there. And He is. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Oh, God is good. Brother Rick sang that beautiful song for us this morning. He's good. Jesus is the lily of your valley. Look for Him while you're there. Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I didn't get saved to be prosperous and rich. I got saved because I was a sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus saved me. I trusted Him and nobody else, nothing else. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand this morning? All over the room is testimony to that. God bless you. Please be honest. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there anyone here from right to left, front to back? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that in this room? I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. Somebody else. I see a little child's hand, a man's hand. Anybody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you're saved on your way to heaven. If you don't know, you can know. God said we could know. We have people here who can show you how to be saved. Could I have this brother come back to where you are and show you how to be saved this morning? Brother Neiman, or Brother Nichols, that'd be a blessing. Thank you. God bless you, brother. Now, if you're not sure that you're saved, somebody can, in just a minute, when the music begins, if you would, please just come and tell Brother Caleb, I need to be saved. And he'll get a lady or a man, depending on your gender, to show you how to be saved. Is there anybody here this morning, Pastor Angel? I've been saved, but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. I've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism like I should. Now, I've been saved, I know it, but I've not followed Christ in believer's baptism yet. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that? From God bless you and somebody else. All right, the most important thing after salvation is take that first step of obedience. And why don't you come this morning, follow the Lord in believer's baptism at the invitation time. We're ready and set up to go. And God will bless you for being obedient to His Word. Some of you have been visiting our church. You know this is the place where God wants you to be a member. He wants you to come. And if you've talked to myself or Brother Caleb, join this morning. If God tells you to, you obey the Lord. But now listen very carefully. How many of God's people would say, Pastor, and if you don't want to admit you're in the valley, that's okay. But you say, I don't mind admitting I'm a little bit of a valley right now. Maybe not so deep, maybe it's deep. I need to look for the lily. I believe it. I believe Jesus is there, but I need to find Him. Help me. I need Him to help me find. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the room this morning? A lot of hands. God bless you. Amen. My heart goes to you this morning. Our Father in heaven, I'm so thankful these Scriptures are in the Bible. Not just this one, but many others just like them. Thank You, Jesus, that You're the lily of the valleys. Jesus, You can be a lily in everybody's valley at the same moment. Help us to find You there. Help us to look for You and find You. And when we find You, Lord, help us to enjoy the sweetness and the fragrance and the ointment of healing, the purity of the valley. We don't come out on the other side ugly, bent out of shape. Lord, we don't need to do that. Not if we find the lily. Bless us this morning. Fill us with Your power as we have this invitation. May people be obedient to Your Spirit, I pray in Christ's name. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Here's what we're going to do in just a moment. We're going to stand. The instruments are going to play. If you need to be saved, come immediately. If you're going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, come immediately. Christian, you acknowledge that the Lord spoke to your heart this morning. You know what the best thing for you to do? Acknowledge that by speaking to Him at the old-fashioned altar. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a beautiful song. Would you come? God is so good. Many hands went up. I need to find the lily in the valley, Pastor. Would you come this morning? Let's make the altar a busy place. Let's be obedient to Christ. Let's find the lily in the valley. He is there. Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? I beg you. God bless you. Would you come? It's God for you. Sometimes you can find the lily of the valley at the altar, or you can find it. Oh, thank God He's there. Raise it a key, ladies. Raise it a key. Let's sing. You can't do that. Let's sing it with the band. God is so good. Sing it. God is so good. Yes, He is. God is so good. He's so good to me. One more time for my hearts this morning. God is so good. On the mountain, He's good. He is so good. In the valley, He's good. God is so good.